What up, folks? It's O'Shea Davis with the Working Wonder Podcast Show. This guest here with me is John Goldman, and he's from the 2nd, say it again, the 2nd Battalion.
It's attached to A Company, 2nd Battalion Mechanized 8th Infantry, for a 6-month period. In general, particularly if you thought, I was a lieutenant. So in general, lieutenants were put in a different job after 6 months. Okay, so I went and I became a forward air observer working for the Division of Artillery. I was there in Vietnam from July of 1967 to July of 1968. I was with A Company from late July in 67 to very early in January of 68, a first lieutenant the entire time. It was artillery, field artillery, forward observer.
Yeah.
Decides, you know, picks out the target and then gives instructions to the battery about how to get the artillery to destroy that target.
Wow.
If that's what's desired. A lot of it, what we did in Vietnam, was we would prearrange fires that were close to the perimeter of the company. Without killing ourselves, so that if someone attacked us, we could immediately respond in those close-in positions, and then adjust from that point. And also, one of my major assignments was to tell the company where they were. I was a principal map reader. I was in ROTC, and got a commission in 1964, and then went to grad school for 2 years. So I was just 23, almost 24. By the time I got to Vietnam, I was a first lieutenant, but I'd only been on active duty for about 6 months. I was born in Missouri, and my father was served in the South Pacific during the Second World War. He was executive officer of the 49th General Hospital in the battles in the Pacific. After he came back, when I was 5, we moved to Greece. He was working for what became the Marshall Plan, helping the Greeks to recover from the Second World War and from their own civil war. My father retired as a reserve lieutenant colonel, and my mother was an army nurse right before the beginning of the Second World War. She did not participate in the Second World War as such because she got married, and you could not be married if you were an army nurse. She had to resign her commission. Probably about 6 months, they got married. My father was then stationed in Stewart, Alaska, and they got married on October 31st, 1941. When I went on active duty in August of 1966 and went through the basic artillery officer's course, okay, my first assignment was a training officer in a basic training company at Fort Benning, Georgia. And that was to prepare people to be Army soldiers. And then they would go from there to make it advanced training. But after I'd been there, approaching a year, became apparent that I was going to stay in the same position. I didn't like the position, and I volunteered to go to Vietnam.
What was your position?
I was a training officer in a basic training company. That means basically you get up before the trainees, you stay with them all day and make sure that the drill sergeants don't kill them. In reserve officer training course, between your junior and senior year, there's a 6-week training period, which is very similar to basic training. And that was the summer of 1963 at Camp Indiantown Gap. That's in Pennsylvania. We were supposed to land at Lon Bin Junction, was called Camp LBJ. The night that I arrived, they were mortared for the first time. So our plane was diverted and landed at Tonsonut. When we landed at Tonsonut, we were put on a bus. The bus had open windows and screens on it. The screens were to keep grenades from being thrown into the bus. And then the bus took us to Camp LBJ, a place to sleep for the night. Well, actually, before that, first we had to exchange our money for a script that night under blackout conditions because they'd been mortared, and then went to bed and woke up in the morning. My brand new belt had been taken and an old scroungy belt had been left in its place. And I kept that belt for 6 years. Nothing but I had a brand new belt and the guy wanted it. But he left me his belt. I didn't need as much. He needed to look good coming back home. Vaguely interesting, after I left A Company, I was to be a forward air observer for the Division Artillery. And during the transition period in January, I was officer of the guard for Camp Inari, the 4th Division headquarters, at the end of January. As I was checking the perimeter, before I checked the perimeter, I was told not pay any notice if we saw fireworks and activity coming from the vicinity of Pleiku. Did my rounds checking on the guards. There was lots of activity coming from Pleiku. Turns out they were being attacked, and it was a very serious attack. I did. I did catch one fellow sleeping on guard, had no idea because it's very dangerous to the people in the camp. No, the worst was at the infantry company. When you found the tunnels where the NVA had dug in, etc., and wanted to check them out, we would call the jungle rats. Very brave small guys who would go down and volunteer to go check out those tunnels.
My grandfather was actually 1st Battalion, 35th Field Artillery. And this was roughly in just shy of October, right before he was getting ETS'd. A week later, he decided he wanted to go to Saigon. It's a little town in Vietnam, so it's a big city there. And he went out and decided, hey, I'm getting ETS. Went out with a couple buddies, went to go drinking. Well, I guess wherever he was supposed to go or where he went, he wasn't supposed to go. So he recalled riding on the back of a little scooter late at night, and he hops off at the wrong spot. So wrong spot being a bad place, and he was pretty drunk. He remembered this. And he finally got back, and by the time he got back, he got yelled at. They said, what were you doing there? You shouldn't have been there. You're about to get ETS. And he said he was so drunk, he didn't even care. But he said he had a blast knowing that he was going to leave, even though I thought it was funny as he was telling it to me, so not as funny as I'm saying it now. But do you recall any moments like that where you just had that moment of just carefree spirit, being 23, 24 years old?
Going to Vietnam, supposed to report to Oakland Army Base by 1700 on a given date. I arrived there fairly early in the morning and went and got assigned a BOQ room or something, went up there and ran the tour, our three other guys, and we started talking, said, hey, they aren't open yet. We don't have to report in until 5 o'clock. So we decided to go downtown to San Francisco. So we went down to San Francisco, had a real nice time. Then we came back and reported in at 5 o'clock, 1700. I said, where have you guys been? You know, you're going to miss the plane that we had planned for you. That's too bad. So we had to stay another 2 days. And we got to go back to San Francisco again. And I remember we went to a lesbian bar. People there treated us very nice. We were in uniform. We went to DiMaggio's restaurant, and somebody bought us dinner.
Oh, wow.
The downside of that was, particularly the 4th Division, early arrivals had come by ship in around August, September of 1966. So those people, they'd come as a unit. We came in as replacements. And your assignments, you're replacing people who were just leaving. So all the good jobs went to the people who had arrived in country before us. That's one of the reasons I ended up being a forward observer for 6 months. Most people were forward observer for about 1 or 2 months, and then they became fire direction officer or executive officer for Field Artillery Battery of reserve service. And then I got promoted to captain about a month before I left. Again, after 48 months of reserve service.
Good morning, Vietnam!
it's around, centered on Pleiku. There's a city to the south called Nam Mi Tui, which was as far as I ever got in the air. But basically it's near Pleiku, Kantum, and Dak To. Dak To was the scene of a lot of battles, and a lot of the NVA, to a certain extent, were over the entire period I was there and continuing afterwards, were trying to divide South Vietnam into two pieces right around the area where Pleiku is. Just to the west, there's an area where Cambodia, Laos, and South Vietnam meet at the same place. And we supposedly weren't allowed, to fire into Cambodia and Laos. And that's where the NVA had a supply trail on the other side of the border. And they would rest and recuperate there and then attack into South Vietnam from across the border. In the field, really you just sort of did your job. When I was an air observer, there was time off and there was a lot in the way of music. People would record stuff. We did have some tapes of units that had comic songs. I think I've still got some. Have jokes about people in senior positions, for example. I had some of the lieutenants who were good friends, and then I had a roommate as an air observer. I knew the air observers pretty well. I've also got a mysterious letter that I sent home where I give the name of a guy and say that he was my best friend and have no recollection.
Really?
The name means nothing to me. For our first round, we call in a round of smoke to avoid killing our own people. And I called in a round of smoke for a night target. And the smoke round ended up breaking the knee of the guy standing next to me. I ended up staying in the military for another 3.5 years. Was in air defense artillery with a battery commander, Nike Hercules battery commander, nuclear-capable air defense weapons. I was battery commander of a battery in Danvers, Massachusetts, and one in Incheon, Korea. And then I got out of the active duty, and I joined the National Guard. At that time, people were trying to get into the National Guard to avoid going to Vietnam. And it was very hard to get into the National Guard. But because of my field artillery background, I was able to join the National Guard and stayed in mostly with field artillery for another 20 years. But basically, if you're going to do anything, particularly something that's dangerous, you need good training. You need to practice. You need to rehearse. You can't just wing it. Winging it will not work. It's probably better to be lucky than to be expert, but you need to be expert.
That's what my mom always tells me. She says, it's not that we plan to fail, but we fail to plan. So lastly, tell me a little bit about your family and what you want them to remember you by.
Now, I've got a lovely wife and one daughter, two grandchildren. They bring a lot of joy into my life. We do a lot of things together. I'd like them to have good memories and think of me as a good person. No extravagant aspirations. Okay.
And if you could summarize your life in one principle or any one thought or a quote, what would it be?
I'm going to cheat and tell you what my dad told me when I joined the Army. Never be late for formations and never volunteer for anything.
Thank you, John, for your time. I appreciate you. And we'll go ahead and move on to our next guest. So I hope that brought you some peace to be able to tell a little bit about your story and have an audio recording that could be shared with your family and they can listen back and tune in to what you experienced. So thank you so much for your time. And I appreciate it because, like I said, I'm living a little bit through you, through my grandpa. So thank you, sir.